Good morning. Well, today is the last day of Sunday Morning Live. Next Sunday we have Father's Day, and then we're taking a break then for the summer. By the looks of things, I will not get anything near where I would like to get, but we'll be okay. You heard Shannon talking about seeds this morning. And Paul talks about us being in Christ and being the seeds of Abraham. So that's a good thing. This last week, as I was doing some preparation for this, I became aware once again, you know how you do things and you all of a sudden stuff hits you in a new way. And I became aware of how some of the commentators on some of the scripture come from totally different perspectives on things. And I was doing some work on Romans 9 to 11. And the one commentator said, the Jews were cut off because they refused to believe. I don't believe the Jews were ever cut off. They sometimes felt they were very distant from God, but God was always there. And one of the things I've been trying to do as we've been looking at Romans and taking it and seeing how Romans reflects back to the creation stories and that type of thing is to look at how God continuously is there for his people from the beginning of the scripture right through to the end. And that he is constantly trying to renew what we sometimes call the covenant, the relationship that is there between God and his people. In Romans, several times, Paul uses the word diakonos. Now, that word can be translated in several ways. It can mean a deacon, or it can mean a minister, or sometimes it's even translated as a servant. And it's interesting to me when you take a look at how things are translated at times, that different people who have a different perspective, as you've been talking about this morning, Shannon, have a different way of seeing things. So, in chapter 16, Paul talks about his personal greeting to the church at Rome and talks about some of the people he has been working with and how those people have been with him. And he talks about, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a diakonos of the church, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has to do. Now, you do read one version and it says she is a servant. You read another one and she says she's a deacon. You read another one and it says she is a minister. And this is an interesting thing because I think it refers back to where Paul is saying things like there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor bond. And if we look in Galatians, he fills that out in a more significant way, where in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In the last part of Romans, when we look at chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, Paul is talking about the unity of the church. Now, when he says something like there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, he's perfectly aware that in the world where he lives and works, there are both of these things. It's a world that ran on the process of economic slavery. And so he knows, and if you take a look at the book of Philemon, another one of his books, the shortest book in the New Testament, he talks about the difficulty of what it means to have that attitude that's given to us who are in Christ, to be able to share with each other as God's people in the midst of a world that worships many other types of gods, because it was not a godless world, the Roman world in which Paul worked. It was a world of everything was a god. And so in the midst of that, he sees these dichotomies that are taking place. Slaves, and there should be freedom. Males with absolute power over females and everything else. Jews who are at odds with the rest of the world because of their belief system. And in the midst of that, he says in Romans 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. We talked about the renewing of your mind. This is part of that process that Paul is talking about. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. What does goodness look like? What does it mean to be acceptable? Look at the world around us. In my reading, I was reading a commentary by an Anglican bishop, and he said, everywhere that Paul went, riots broke out. Everywhere that I go, they serve tea. And I thought, what a wonderful illustration. We have become so accustomed to just going along with what is that we serve tea. We have donuts and coffee, whatever, you know. But when Paul went, riots broke out. And if we said in some circles in our world today, the things that Paul said in the world where he lived were the things that he talks about were every bit as rampant as they are in our world today, riots will break out. The whole concept of homosexuality, the concept of transsexuality. And Paul says, no, There is none of this. You are neither male nor female when you are in Christ. And he's not saying there isn't maleness or femaleness, there aren't men and there aren't women. He's saying when you begin the process of thinking of how God wants us to live in relationship to each other, when we are in Christ, as we have been baptized into him, we think differently. I see you as a human being. I see you as a part of God's creation. The creation that when he had created it and finished the work, he said, it's very good. Now we know there's all kinds of terrible things that happen in our world. You know, Shannon was saying, when you watch the news, how much good news do you see? And I put my hand up and said this, zero. Because what is the news media looking for? Anything that's sensational, anything that can somehow get a tick mark on the people who are viewing. And after a while, it becomes so, what's the word I want? So much so that you turn it off. Because there is nothing good about it. But Paul says, there is much good. Though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of each other. While we have gifts differing gifts, according to the grace of God that is given to us, use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving. If in teaching, teaching. In exhortation, exhortation. In liberality, he who gives is with zeal, according to the acts of mercy and cheerfulness of God. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdoing one another in showing honor. How much honor do we share and show each other? You begin to see the significance of what's happening in this whole thing. The first passage I read talks about Phoebe. It was probably Phoebe who delivered Paul's letter to Rome. It's probably Phoebe who read that letter to the various churches in Rome. Now, Rome was a male-dominated society. And yet here, in the body of Christ, it's a female who Paul calls the minister, the deacon, the servant of Christ. And yet I know in many churches today, there are people who have problems with male and female ministry, or female ministry. And yet here Paul is saying, here is one of the ministers who I have taught and is going to Rome. When we talk about the good news that comes from God in Christ, do we really see and respect the oneness that God calls for us to be part of? And in these last few chapters of Romans, he's talking to the people of Rome who were Jews who had come back after being banished from Rome. And are meeting with Gentiles who have also been exposed to the good news that has come in Christ, who have different ways of doing things. And Paul says, you know, if this small community of people who love God in Christ are really to survive and be an influence in the world, they have to start doing things together. You have to love each other as if you are brothers and sisters in Christ. I look around the world I live in, and I see it's changed since I was a kid. There was much more animosity at that time between denominations than there is now. But there is still a great deal of animosity over certain types of things. I have a son who's a deacon in the Orthodox Church. And we talk together about being able to have communion or not being able to have communion together. About 46 years ago, because it was just before I met Orlean, I was a minister in Sparwood and Elkford, and I went to a course in Calgary. And there were about 8 of us in the course. Well, no, it was about 10, actually. There were 2 Roman Catholic sisters, and there was a Roman Catholic fellow who was training for the priesthood and was just getting ready to be ordained. There was an Anglican, there were a couple of Baptists, there was a couple of United Church people. Anyway, we had a great diversity of people from different denominations. We decided within that group that each of us was going to celebrate communion with the group according to our own tradition. And it started out, and it became one thing that bound us together in a way that I had never expected. That this unity around the body of Christ in the sacrament that's given to us in communion was so significant that it became a very very powerful thing. The young fellow who was training for Roman Catholic priesthood said, you know, I'd like to celebrate, but because I'm not yet a priest, I can't do that according to my tradition. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be ordained 2 weeks after this course is finished. I'll talk to my bishop and I'll see what I can do. Well, the church he was working with was in Edmonton, but it wasn't part of the Edmonton diocese. And if it had been that bishop, there was no way that that bishop would have allowed him to serve communion to non-Catholics. But he was the bishop of Athabasca. And that bishop said, sure, great. Well, 2 weeks after our course ended, we all went to Edmonton. We went to his ordination service. I don't think there was a dry eye amongst us. When he served us communion. And I thought, if we as a Christian church could only do what Paul's asking us to do here, and we could celebrate together, honoring each other, and the different traditions and different perspectives that each of us brings. we would gain so much greater an insight into the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was ordained. We were ushered into this one line where he was serving communion, because the church was full and there were several priests serving communion. And he served us communion. Think about that. Think about what it means to try to be relevant in today's world. Because that's what Paul, writing to the Romans, is trying to teach us. How do we bring the good news of what God has done in Christ Jesus our Lord? Through his life, his death, his resurrection. He gave us an ability to come together around communion, which is a meal we share with each other. And it's interesting that that's the situation he chose. Because the escape out of Egypt, which we are celebrating, is not a ceremony of forgiveness, but rather is a ceremony of freedom from slavery. How do we become free in the world where we live? How do we understand God's love that frees us? How do we, as the gospel tells us, cast out fear with the love that is given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord? Let us pray. O God, you love each one of us with an everlasting love. And you are able to turn the shadow of death into the light of a new day. Be with us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Enable us to truly love each other as you have loved each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray.